Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. I realize that I said this each of the last 2 weeks, but I'm repeating it again because it's important to me. I'm hoping to do a survey at some point, but please don't wait for that. Let me know that you're out there now. Let me know if you like Catholic Sports Radio and what it's doing for you in your faith life. Maybe an interview you heard that really touched you. Maybe something that you've changed because of something you heard from me or a guest. What am I doing that you like and wish I would do more of? What am I doing that you don't like and wish I would stop doing? What am I not doing that you wish I would do? I truly do want to hear from you. Write to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even DM me through the @CathSportsRadio Instagram account or send a private message through the Facebook page. There are links to those social media accounts and Twitter as well on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. There are various components that make up a team. Each athlete brings something different to the table, or maybe I should say to the roster or to the locker room or whatever the playing surface might be, the ice, the court, the field, and so on. Think also about some popular sports expressions that we've all heard countless times over the years, such as there is no I in team, or together we are greater than the sum of our parts. It all points to the fact that everyone has something to contribute. We can benefit from one another's talents, assuming we're using them the right way. In the New Testament, we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, quote, "As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Amen. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a professor and cool chair at St. Joseph's College, a Catholic college at the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Canada. 3 months ago marked the release of a book he co-authored called On the Eighth Day, A Catholic Theology of Sport. And 3 years ago, he was the lead editor of a book titled Sport and Christianity, Practices for the 21st Century. He even has another book that he is working on, which we will hear about today. As a student athlete, he played high school basketball, and in his adult years has done some coaching and has played recreational sports. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Matt Hoven.
Hi, Bruce. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. I appreciate you making time for this.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Good to talk with an American coming from Canada here. It's just good to be with you.
Off the top of my head, I think you might be just the second guest on this show who does not live in the U.S., with the first being Father John Perdue from way back on episode 39, almost 3 years ago. He's the director of vocations for the Diocese of Peterborough in Ontario, and he was talking about the Flying Fathers, a hockey team of Catholic priests. Mm. Matt, in your case, are you a lifelong resident of not only Canada, but the province of Alberta?
Yes, I was born and raised here in Alberta. I grew up in an agricultural community. My parents farmed, and I have two brothers and a sister. And we grew up next to the local Catholic church. It was a farming community, so it was a small little mission church. And we cut the lawn and had the priests over for a drink after confessions and the whole bit. So my life as a kid, active in schools and whatnot, but also the church played a prominent role in it. And and sport, of course, was important too.
Yeah, I know later in life you have done some coaching and have played recreational sports, but you also played basketball in high school. As much as I always like to establish the foundation of the Catholic faith in a guest's household growing up, what was the sports influence when you were a young boy in your household?
Sports influence was in a rural area, you got two or three channels on television, and usually on the weekends there were different sporting events. My brother would order Sports Illustrated in from the U.S., and he had that, and this was before Sports Talk Radio or, ESPN and whatnot. So it was just part of what we'd watch on television, but it was also we'd play games of football or baseball, whether it just my dad and the immediate family or with my cousins, with my friends. So it was not as organized as it is now. Maybe in some places it was more organized in terms of leagues and whatnot. I did a bit of that, but it was really focused around just family life and enjoying one another and having fun together.
And audience, if you hear the part in there where Matt talked about watching television, watching sports on the weekend, Matt, you spoke last month in the UK at the Third Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, and you said there that when you were a kid watching Hockey Night in Canada, they showed someone holding up a sign that said, "On the eighth day, God created Wayne Gretzky," yeah. Which is funny, but I think it's also a snapshot of how, if we let it, sports can become what we worship.
You know what? It can, our lives can revolve around sport. And you know what? It's so darn fun and interesting. We almost can't blame ourselves for it, but like anything in this life, we need moderation and balance. And for my family, it was always, making sure we're at Mass on Sunday and participating in other things in life that sport never took over. But it was important. And part of that was just life on the farm was busy. My parents worked hard, and there wasn't time for me to be, going to hockey 5 days a week. My parents weren't interested in that, so I played recreational hockey. If sport isn't managed correctly, if we don't think about it, and if most of the times we just don't think about it, we get involved in sport and we kind of, my child is successful or I'm successful. We get deeper and deeper into it. It can become idolatry where we lose our balance. We aren't actually it can throw us off where our priorities slip, and it's such a difficult thing. I still kind of work through this with my own kids' involvement in sport. It's not easy, but it's it feels. I think each one of us have to ask questions about what are my priorities in life, what are my foundational values, and how do I live accordingly. And for people of faith, it's important to make sure that, worship and time in prayer, that takes a priority over other things.
Yeah, it's interesting because for some reason, the picture that's coming into my head as you're saying all of this is that as a parent, it's important, of course, when your son or daughter finishes a sporting event, you put your arm around them. "I'm proud of you, buddy. Really paid attention to everything you were doing out there today. I'm proud of you, honey." But it's just as important in church. They complete the sacraments, make their first communion. "I'm really proud of you, buddy." Make their confirmation. "I'm really proud of you, honey." And they're hearing the same words That way it's not, hey, sports, wow, you really, you know, and in church, it's just kind of, okay, you just did your thing and I'm not going to make a big deal out of it.
Well, you know, that's it. And obviously, if your daughter's the captain of her flag football team and is an incredible athlete, it's hard not to be proud of that. And as parents or friends, we should be proud of somebody like that. But yeah, when it comes to the sacraments, it's about being dedicated. It's about realizing what's most important in life and having that balance. And even though, you know, a kid who's 13, 14 receiving confirmation, it might not seem like they've done much or they won't feel like it. But, you know, it is significant, and that really has an impact and shapes their life. And sacraments are there in our hardest times. So, yeah.
Let's really roll up our sleeves here, combining faith and sports. In the lead up to today, you told me, quote, "I have studied religion, which has led me to savor and understand sport more deeply," end quote. How so?
Yeah. So I went, I studied graduate school up here in Canada, but then I also went and studied at Catholic University in Washington, D.C., and you study about faith and you get into these deep philosophical questions or concerns about meaning. And through that, it just made me reflect more about my life and about culture. And so I kind of gravitated by various reasons and started looking at sport more seriously. My experience of sport, again, was quite positive. I knew there were bad things in sport. Things that could harm people or distract them. But I also knew there was a lot of joy, and I really had a lot of good experiences even growing up playing basketball in high school and whatnot. So that sense then, you have those experiences, but there's a point where you start to say, as you get a little older, you think, well, is this really foolish? Should I really grow up? Does it really matter if the LA Dodgers game is on tonight? Should I just quit kind of watching sports? But we see that so many people watch sports and pay attention and love going to events and love participating in it. And that's just led to me to look more deeply at it. And I just been fascinated by that. And I think there's a lot more in sport than what meets the eye.
Yeah, and folks, I think you're going to hear a lot more observations like this from Matt as our conversation continues, because theological studies, eventually his doctorate at Catholic University, he worked in Alberta Catholic Schools as a teacher before that. Certainly a lot of experience to draw on from the viewpoints that you're starting to hear. Matt, getting back to the Wayne Gretzky reference, the sign held up by the fan on TV when you were a kid, the coach of your son's hockey team said something about sports is my religion. I wonder, how does that make you feel, both as a professor and a father, to know that a coach is making a statement like that, which could send the wrong message?
Yeah. Well, you know, and Bruce, it was said privately, but what I do know is that that coach, I knew that he had a real passion for sport and encouragement, and he laughed a lot. But underneath that, there was a serious side where, to him, following the few sports that he did and practicing and doing that with his kids, in a lot of ways, religion formed the basis for kind of his life, the social framework for it. So instead of maybe a Catholic that would go to Mass on Sunday and you know, First Fridays, go to the church and different celebrations, Christmas, Lent, Easter, and whatnot, you know, it's the sporting events. That's a liturgical calendar that he was following. And in some ways, it just shows that the human spirit longs for something more. It longs for order. It longs for something beyond just the surface of our daily lives. And I think that's what sport points us to. It's pointing us towards something greater than just the mundane, regular fashion. Now, so the coach, it'd be neat to talk with him more about it and to reflect about questions of purpose in life and what our values are. There's probably quite a bit in common with religious values he'd have, but I think sometimes that we settle in our society just on the surface and we don't get down to really what our lives are about and in our fundamental values. And when we do that, I think we kind of, we put sport in a its proper perspective.
Well, and as I'm listening to you say that, I'm thinking you could really be so devoted to one particular sport, but what happens when that sport is in the off season and there's nothing to satisfy you? And yet the Lord is there for us 365 days a year, and there is no off season with him. And he's always going to be there, assuming that we go looking for him, as opposed to the games, which are, depending on what sport it is, maybe it's a couple nights a week, or maybe it's only once a week. And then, as I mentioned, the off season, and there's those voids that can't be filled, but we can be filled by turning to our Father in heaven every single day.
Yeah, you're right on one hand, Bruce, but at the same time, think about the NFL in the football season. Like, not only do games start in September and they finish off, what, into January with the Super Bowl, but then there's, there's getting ready for the draft, and then there's training camps. It's year round. Like, all sports are moving to that: golf, tennis, soccer, or European football, right? We see that. So it shows something about the human spirit. It also shows how sport is commercialized and people taking advantage of that and wanting to provide content for mass media. But yeah, it does make us think about, what do I build my life on? You know, do I build it on sand or do I build it on the rock?
Wow. Well, we absolutely need to shift the discussion to Matt's book that I mentioned back in the intro, one that he co-authored that came out 3 months ago. But it's equally important that I first stop to publicly thank Lance Mudd, the guest from 3 weeks ago on episode 187. As we were wrapping up our conversation, you heard him not only encourage the audience to support My Catholic Sports Radio ministry, but he said that he himself was going to make a financial contribution, and indeed he did. And I'm most grateful for that. He and I have since talked on the phone. And not only did I thank him and get his permission to say his name publicly to acknowledge that donation, but he asked me to reiterate what he said on episode 187 about challenging others to do so as well. Trust me when I say that it definitely helps, because I'm otherwise having to find a way to somehow come up with the money out of my own pocket as it relates to all the expenses that come with running Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, especially since I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. I do hope, folks, that you see value in what I'm doing and want to support me and this ministry as a result. Do please prayerfully evaluate your tithing and what is in your heart to be able to make a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio. No amount is too big, no amount is too small, and it's easy. You simply use the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is secure, and it's how Lance Mudd made his donation. When you go online to utilize that, you will see that you simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable with giving. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. If you're not comfortable with electronic payments, just send me an email via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. As you're hearing me do, as far as Lance Mudd, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount. Or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Matt, let's talk about the book, which is called On the Eighth Day, A Catholic Theology of Sport. You have said that the book tries to mark out a new day for Christians' encounter with others, self, and God in sports. Talk about that.
Well, you mentioned earlier the line, on the eighth day, God created Gretzky. And I was about, I don't know, 7 years old when I saw that banner hanging in an arena watching hockey night in Canada. And what struck me was just a sense of, maybe that's possible. Maybe God on the eighth day really did create Wayne Gretzky. He was such a good passer and so innovative, and he was incredible. And I think that's what sports do in a lot of ways. They lift us up out of the mundane of our life, and they show us something new, a glimpse of a new day. So one of the chapters, for instance, is an early chapter is on the topic of play. And when we think about play, we maybe think about it's childish and that's what little kids do. And then we grow up and we forget to play. Mm. But I think somewhere inside of us, we think, well, that sounds kind of sad. Hopefully we still play. And there's a lot of good work amongst Catholic philosophers and thinkers about what play means. And in our book we follow, we touch on three themes. We touch about how play, when we play, we find freedom. There's a moral quality in this freedom, in that we let go of ourselves and we just enjoy the moment. And we get lost in sport and our burdens, our concerns are pushed aside for the moment. So we experience a freedom in that. The other one was connectedness. You can think of maybe a team you played on, Bruce, or even being a part maybe of cheering on the Tampa Bay Lightning. But as a group, it really, sport can bring people together as a group. And that's powerful and it connects us at a deeper level. And then, of course, there's a sense even of what we call transcendence, a sense of that there's something more in life. The one example that I take from one scholar is the idea that in sport, sometimes a team will sense something that their teammate's going to do, like make a pass or run a certain play, or they just start to run as a unit. It's almost like an out-of-body experience because they're so in sync with one another. And these kind of clues as freedom, connectedness, and transcendence, they start to tell us about the power of play and an element of human experience that we really need to pay close attention to. Now, when I think of going to Mass, I think of play. Now, maybe most people don't. Maybe the young undergrads that I teach maybe think of boredom or it's so slow or whatever, but it's all revolved around the idea of play. So the priest is dressed up. There's hopefully, if you're lucky, you get stained glass windows, a beautifully decorated church. Mm. There's music. It's a celebration. There is something frivolous. In some ways, we're wasting our time. There's no end product when we worship. It's just to worship God. And so fundamentally, play is tied to worship. It's tied to prayer. And so when we play sport, it maybe that feels more natural to some people, and it can actually lead us to thinking about those other elements that are there within religion that maybe we overlook.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, wow. When you spoke last month in the UK at the Third Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, you said that John Paul II talked about theology of the body, and even though that typically speaks to sexuality, he included the word sport in that. Mm-hmm. Translate that for us.
Right. So in the 1980s, John Paul II gave a series of talks at the Vatican at St. Peter's. I think it was over about a three-year period. And it was all about theology of the body, which is focused on sexuality. And at the end of it, he said, but a theology of the body isn't simply about sexuality, but it's also about, and he listed the bodily experiences of Christians. And one of the things he noted was sport.
Mm.
Okay. So for Christians, we're really an embodied people. We're an embodied religion. Now, sometimes, and I know in my own faith life, and maybe some of your listeners have this, is that maybe I can get really in my head with my faith, or maybe think of religion as otherworldly or separate. But when we look at Christianity, it's really an embodied religion where God becomes a human person like any one of us. For Christians and for Catholics, we celebrate sacraments. Water becomes the means for reception into the church. Bread and wine become the means to partake in Christ's body and blood. So very much there's an embodiment in Christianity. It's foundational. We can't separate. In some ways, we've lost touch with that over the last few centuries. So there's kind of a reawakening to that. And I think John Paul that's why he noted sport, was that a lot of people have this sense of embodiment within sport about freedom or joy. in through those experiences. And so much so that popes dating back to like Leo XIII around 1900 had given speeches about sport. Mm. And popes since then, they all have talked about sport. We might not hear about it much, but they have. And some were avid athletes like John Paul II. And so in some ways it might stand out to us, but you know, that's the depth and the breadth of our tradition. And we might not know it well, but John Paul was trying to encourage us to examine this other element, this depth of a theology of the body that as it pertains to sport.
And folks, I am going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Amazon so that you can go and purchase the book that Matt co-authored on the Eighth Day, A Catholic Theology of Sport. And when you get that book, folks, you're going to see, Matt, just as you said, one of the messages of your book is that, quote, sport is a place where embodied games can be sacramental, end quote.
You know, and that's where, now, of course, I'm not saying going and playing ice hockey is the same as going to Mass on Sunday. I'm not claiming that. What we're trying to get at and get us thinking more deeply about is when I tell this story often is that I have an outdoor rink. So up in Edmonton, Canada, I can have ice up here for about 3 months. So I make a rink and we skate on it in the evenings. And when there's snow around the rink and we've cleaned it off and we have a couple floodlights shining on it in the black sky above us, it's breathtaking. And I love it. And it's refreshing, and to play a game with my kids and my wife, it's uplifting. And it makes me realize that I'm made for something more than just slaving away or just cheap pleasures or whatever it is. But there's something more satisfying and substantial. And I think good experience of sport can give us that. I want to make sure, Bruce, you named the book and on Amazon and other places for sure. The other thing is that I have two co-authors I want to make sure to mention, and that is James Carney and Max Engel. And both of them are professors at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. Of course, a great tradition in basketball at that Catholic university.
Yeah, and I want to compliment you for the great picture that you painted, because I certainly was able to relate as a young boy. My father would make that same ice rink in our backyard, and we would go out and skate and play hockey back there. But, you know, what you also did, Matt, is you brought to mind to me the word purity, which you're going to say, you mean hockey-wise and family time, or are you talking about Catholic faith? And I'm going to say, exactly.
Yeah, you know, when we think about purity with sport, it's, you know, I get thinking about, I think purity, we always have to question our motives and what we're doing. And whatever we're doing, there's a sense that we get scattered and we get thin on the outer edges, and we need to get back to what's most important in our life. And I think that's what purity, I don't know, maybe theoretically, I think of it in that way. And so it's with sport. You know, there's different authors where sport is often criticized today, not by religious people necessarily, but by people concerned that it's becoming all-consuming. It's becoming too expensive for people. It's becoming too dangerous for youth. Mm. And those are real concerns. There has to be a sense of purity around the sport about, at least for youth sport, fundamentally, we need to be thinking about, is this really best for our kids? Mm. What are the aims of sport? How is this helping them out? How is this helping my kids or grandchildren? And in that sense, it's a purity. And so I think whatever it is, church or sport, is always in need of purifying and always getting back to what are our first intentions, what are our goals and values that are fundamental.
Well, we're in the home stretch here. I do want to move on to something that I mentioned back in the intro. You are already working on another book, which is fascinating in terms of what story that one is going to tell. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, well, it's funny enough, Bruce, I actually started this other book before this book. Mm. But Jay and Max got me going on this book, and I loved writing it. But this other book, it's been in the hopper for about 5 years. We've been working on it, and It's about Father David Bauer. Father Bauer was a really good hockey player Growing up in the 1940s, he played at the highest level as a teenager and won a national championship. But then he became a priest. So it's a long story, but he realized that sport needed to be about mentorship. It needed to be about education. It needed to be about building up young people to support our nation. Wow. In terms of this was Canada. So wow. He founded a new stream of hockey, and that was the national team, and they represented Canada at 3 different Olympic Games. And a lot of my book is trying to piece together letters, hockey documents that he wrote. He was a philosopher in a sense, a hockey philosopher, I'd call him. And he puts forward an image of what youth sport should be like. And he was about hockey, but he realized it was about all youth sport. And so he was critical about violence in sport, people just trying to make money off of it and not caring about the people in the game. Mm. But he was also critical of people who so emphasized skill development and the science of sport that it denied, it dehumanized the athletes again. Mm. So he had all sorts of views about sport. And I think it's quite enlightened and fascinating. So the book is, I hope, will be titled Father David Bauer and the Canadian Hockey Alternative.
And is there a timeline of any kind for when that might reach market?
Yeah, I'll be speaking with a publisher this month because I finally got the manuscript in a good length, a good shape, and we'll work from there. So hopefully in 2023, it'll be out, but one never knows. A book takes a long time, so we'll see.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I have to close by having you talk about your family because of not only your love for them, but the support that I know they provide for you. Share with the audience about your wife, your marriage, and your children.
Okay, well, my wife, Crystal, we met when we were almost 30 years old. We were a little later than some people, but probably pretty average in society. And we met, and she had an adventurous spirit. And so after we were married, a year later, we moved to Washington for 4 years. Ah. And we had our eldest down there. So she's an American citizen.
Washington, D.C. or Washington, the corner state?
In D.C.
Okay.
In D.C. And so then when we came back to Canada, we had 2 more kids before we turned 40. And so we have the 3 kids, and they're active in sport. And we go to our local parish at the university and attend that. And our kids go to Catholic schools. And we do our best to honor God and live a life of Catholic sacraments and knowing that God is in our life through life in the church and just of service and celebrating each other and our families. And, you know, it's a challenge in our world, I think, for anybody to try to be a part of it and to try to live out the faith. I think the temptation is just to reject the world and to think that I can just kind of hide away and do my Catholic or whatever religion we are in. But we try to engage and see what's good in the world and try to reject what's bad and celebrate the joys of life.
And let's see how I do on this part. I believe you have 1 boy and 2 girls. I believe your son plays hockey, and now you're going to have to help me out with if the girls play sports at all, assuming that I have that right.
Yeah, our son plays hockey and soccer. My one daughter, she loves soccer, and the other one, she likes track.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Matt, congratulations on the book, On the 8th Day, A Catholic Theology of Sport. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thanks. Same to you, Bruce.
And folks, let us close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. And of course, we will start it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.